President, the Firestone Bible College, the Principal of the Firestone Bible College, the Board of Directors, graduates, friends, family members, worshippers, I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I count it a privilege and honor to address all of you this evening. The text is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Reading from the words of Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh, God has brought us together from many countries so that we might learn from one another towards a wider missionary vision. From whatever ethnic background or station of life, do you realize the high privilege you now have as a student of this college? Do you know that in studying God's Word, you are entering into the realms of the highest learning, the study of God and man? Calvin says, to know God and to know yourself is the true knowledge. There are many branches of learning, and some may get a PhD in mosquitology. Whereas Confucius says it is a pleasure to study with a constant application, St. Paul speaks more emphatically, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. FEBC is not merely an Eastern academy, but a spiritual safety, Singapore Armed Forces Training Institute, for the nurture of the whole man. Mere classroom lectures and teaching by extension, without residential interaction between students and teachers, and between students and students, is half-baked education. There needs to be the molding of character through communal living and worship, as exemplified in the discipleship school of Christ on earth. Head knowledge that puffs up without heart knowledge is a great danger. End of quote. This is found in a word from the principal in our prospectus. A word of welcome from the principal, a very solemn welcome to all the students who are called into full-time ministry, as you so claim, by your own words, by your own testimony, as you apply to study in the Far Eastern Bible College. And to the graduates, as you leave the portals of Far Eastern Bible College, your journey of the study of God's Word has not ended. It has only begun. As what Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh had said, head knowledge that puffs up without heart knowledge is a great danger. When you go out into the world to minister, to be preachers and teachers of God's Word, what you have learned in the head will now be applied to the heart. And this is where you must earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And in order to maintain this for the rest of your life and ministry before the Lord returns, you have to keep on studying the Word of God. And the aim and the purpose is found in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. It is not to study to show other people. It is to study to show yourself. It is a study that you must endeavor. It is in the imperative to make it an impact, not an option, that you must put it as your highest, most priority. Then no matter how busy you might be in your ministry, you must never, never stop studying the Word of everlasting life. Because to do that, it is to starve your own soul of the truth of the Word of God. To study, to show yourself. In order to find yourself acceptable. To whom? Not to the congregation that God will present before you as you minister. Because that will make you a man pleaser. And to be a man pleaser would be a failure in the eyes of God. Because it is only a matter of time before you will compromise. Because if your life and your ministry is to protect your own name, to please men, then you will shortchange your own ministry. You will cut and paste the Word of God to suit the itching ears of your congregation. And that would be a disaster. For you have been called to earnestly contend for the faith, the whole faith, the whole counsel of God, without apology, without the fear of man, but with the fear of God in your heart. And so, this is one of the first lifelong goals of the minister of the Word of God, to find yourself a proof unto God. When Joshua was called by the Lord into full-time ministry, God made it very clear to him when God called him in Joshua chapter 1. Moses, my minister, the minister of the Lord, is dead. Joshua, you are now the new leader to bring Israel into the promised land. Do you know how God addressed him? God specifically called him twice. You are a minister of Moses. When did he earn the title minister of the Lord? You will never find it throughout the whole book of Joshua, throughout his ministry, until the last chapter, the tail end of that chapter, the last few verses after he died. Then the Lord said, Joshua, the son of Nun, servant of Jehovah. It took Joshua his entire life to earn the title, the servant of the Lord. And so to study in order to find ourselves approved unto God must go beyond the few years that we have in FEBC. It must transcend the piece of paper that you're going to receive from the principal. That is not where the real tests lie. It will be by the way that you serve your master, the Lord Jesus Christ. That you seek only to please him, to seek his approval, and nobody else, none whatsoever. And that requires strength and courage. The kind that will make you unflinching, even in the face of the most heinous and most dangerous enemy. No matter what kind of threats they might throw at you, be it imprisonment, be it before the courts of men, be it death, you must stay the course. You must not forget your Savior and the high calling that God has given to you when you say that you have been called to full-time ministry. Second, seeking the lifelong goal of God's approval. In order to accomplish that, the lifelong need is found in the next part of verse 15. You must therefore be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A workman is a laborer. He is a person who is prepared to work under the hot sun. No matter how difficult the journey, no matter how tired he might be, he will keep on working if need be until he drops dead. He never complains or murmurs about, I am so tired, I want to go home to be with the Lord, I want to quit. He is a workman that must never, never be ashamed. That when even his enemies were to scrutinize his life from inside out, like young Daniel, when his enemies hated him, they tried to find fault with him. They said the only fault we can find with this man is in his relationship with his God. And that must be true of all of us. Our fervent devotion and zeal for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ must be the only fault that our enemies will find in us. May they not find in us lazy servants of God. May they not find in us ministers of the Word of God who are half-baked and half-hearted in the understanding of the Word of God. In our ministry, where we cannot and dare not say, "Thus saith the Lord," where we are ourselves uncertain what the word of God is. Be a laborer that needeth not be ashamed. Would you? And it must begin at the moment you are called to be a Christian, called to be in the ministry right here and now. Don't say, "Well, when I graduate, then I will start working hard and not be ashamed." The moment you enter into Bible college, the moment you call yourself a Christian, there must no shameful aspect of our lives that will bring shame to the name of our Savior, whose name we bear as Christians. How much more, you graduates, and you will now be called ministers of the Word of God. Can you dare to say that you will be less of a witness and a testimony unto our Lord? That there will be shame in your relationship with your spouse? Shameful in the way that you bring up your children? Shameful in the way that you handle your own household, the affairs of your own life? Shameful in the way that you spend your recreation time? Shameful in the way that you handle the Word of God, how you prepare to minister and to teach and preach the Word of God? Be a laborer, be a workman, and let this be your lifelong need to work hard and to give our utmost as long as the Lord gives you breath. You will not flinch from this high calling to be good students of the Word of God, to feed your flock, to protect your flock, to nurture them, to comfort them, and to even, if need be, die for them. Would you? That is what is needed to find ourselves approved unto God on the day of our death. When we breathe our last breath, will we hear from God, "So and so, servant of Jehovah"? A title that has been coined too flippantly, too easily, so much so that it has lost its significance. It was so difficult for Joshua to earn that title from the Lord. Man may call us such, but when the Lord calls us servant of the Lord, that is truly the servant of the Lord. You know how difficult it is to be a servant of the president of a country? A handful would be selected, and they would find themselves so honored to be part of the team to help the president run a country. How much more the Lord God Himself? To be called the servant, do we dare to bring that name down and bring it to shame because of our own failures? Because we have not lived circumspectly? Because we have not guarded our own lives? Because we have not been holy, faithful, steadfast, unmovable, as the Lord demands of all of us? Not just those who are graduating, not those who are in the full-time ministry, but as long as we call ourselves Christians, are we not included in this charge by the Apostle Paul to young Timothy? To be good students of the Word of God, to find ourselves approved unto Him, and to work hard and to give our very best unto Him? Has God not given His very best to us? His only begotten Son came into this world to die on the cross for our sins. The kind of pain, the kind of torment that He had to endure, the kind of persecution and the humiliation that He had to bear. The perfect Son of God for your sakes and for my sakes. He did it. He paid it all. That you and I may have the bondage of sin broken permanently, eternally, forever. That we have a place in heaven secured by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our home, our hope, our eternal dwelling place. And therefore this life that we have on this earth, how can we ever dare to say that I now still want to live unto self? To live unto Christ is but our reasonable service. Do you not agree? And for those who are called into the full-time ministry, we must take the lead. It is the least we can do to be exemplary to the congregation that God has set for us. To burn out for the Lord Jesus Christ, to pour out our life's blood with every second, every drop of sweat, every ounce of our energy, as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. For what are we doing? What is the ministry? What is the work? Lifelong goal is to be found approved unto God. Our lifelong need is to be a laborer, a hard worker, no matter what it takes out of us. And the lifelong work, the last part of verse 15, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not just simply divide the word of truth. Anyone can do that, just simply read and just put in a few little comments here and there. The word of truth, rightly dividing it. This is a term that describes someone who is cutting a straight line. A surgeon would understand this very well. Because when a surgeon operates, whatever the operation, he is very, very mindful where he placed his knife and how he will plunge into that patient's body and how he will draw the line, how he will cut. You cut wrongly, you cut the wrong part. The patient could die. He is very, very careful. He will do all kinds of markings. He will do all this homework to make sure that every cut is for the best. For the best of the patient. Nothing less. You can't just simply close your eyes and just simply cut. That's how you kill a person, isn't it? You take a sword, you want to kill the person, you just slash away. But not when you want to fix a person, when you want to heal a person, every cut is carefully done. Because you do not want to lose a life. How much more when we are talking about the souls that God will put in your care. They will end up in hell or they will end up in heaven. Depends on how you rightly divide the word of everlasting life. The word of truth. That's how the Bible describes the word of God. The word of truth is described here. There is not one ounce, not even the minutest detail, little bit of dross, of error in the word of God. There is no Bible on this earth that dare to promise us that if you obey the word of God, every jot and every tittle, it will end up for your good. God's guarantee and promise, you find it here. All of God's word you obey, it will turn up for your good. What God says do not do, you do not do it. What God says you do, you keep on doing it, no matter what. It will end up for your good. You will become like Christ. God's promise and God's guarantee. And that is God's truth. And that is exactly what the college has been founded for. To defend the word of truth. You know who knows it best? Not us. Satan. Satan knows it best. That's why he will never stop destroying the Bible colleges all over the world that will defend and protect and teach and preach the word of truth. He hates it. He wants FEBC dead and gone. Just as he had destroyed so many fundamentalist Bible colleges all over the world. Seminaries had fallen. Seminaries have disappeared. We graduated from Grace Theological Seminary, founded for the same purpose, the same cause as Far Eastern Bible College. Few years after we graduated, the seminary died. The professor who helped me with my thesis was quoted in Christianity Today. We were all forced to attend the funeral of the college that we love. It's gone. Satan is laughing from ear to ear. And he will continue non-stop to destroy any church, any Bible college, and any Christian, any servant of God for that matter. He will do his utmost to neutralize, diminish, and destroy the work of God in your life, your witness, your testimony, and how best to start Bible college. That's the key. Churches will die without a Bible college that will continue to churn out faithful ministers of the Word of God. In order for him to destroy churches, it takes so much more effort and time to destroy one church at a time. Let the fundamentalist pastors in these churches grow old and die. They will want to look for new pastors. Where will they find? They will find them in Bible colleges. So therefore, if I, Satan says, and argue and reason very logically, destroy these Bible colleges, make them have a low view of God's Word, diminish the Word of God. Say that the Bible is only perfect sometime in the past, but we don't have it today. These are the forked tongue doctrine of the evil one. What is the point of defending a Bible that is non-existent? That you do not have it in your own hands, that you can cling on to, that you can lean upon as the perfect, inerrant, infallible Word of everlasting life. Your faith, my faith, all your doctrines will now be on sinking sand. And so when pastors after pastors graduate with this mentality that the Bible has mystics, or the mystics are only in numbers and in names or places, nothing about doctrines, all your doctrines are secure and safe and without mistakes, only these numbers, don't worry, your faith is still secure. This was exactly the same argument they used in the 1920s and 30s when they attacked the doctrine of inspiration. And now they're using the same line of argument to attack the doctrine of preservation. He never stops. Because the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and it is able to expose Satan for who he really is. And that's why he must destroy and diminish the Word of God. You and I have a low view of the Word of God. We are finished. The college is finished. It's only a matter of time. And then the souls that God placed in your care will die together with you. The work is lifelong, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Be a good student of the truth of God's Word, the Word of truth, before you can be a good teacher of God's Word. So never stop studying. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Study to show yourself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study to show yourself rightly dividing the Word of truth. Dear friends, especially to those who are graduating, never, never stop studying. Your journey as a student of the Word of God has just begun as you minister. The more you study, the better you would be, because your souls will be fed, your walk with the Lord will be strong, and your lifelong goal to be found accepted in the eyes of God will be yours one day. The lifelong need to be a workman, the lifelong work, keep on rightly dividing the Word of truth. Amen.